Welcome back to the Curiosity Chronicles, everyone. Episode 8. You know, and we're diving into something that I find super interesting. It's about how sustainable living and taking care of the wildlife on our planet, you know, all the amazing creatures.
Right.
And just living a healthy life kind of all come together, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all connected to our slogan, you know, physically strong, mentally awake, environmentally safe.
It's fascascinating, isn't it, how these three things really do all connect together.
It's like a big puzzle.
Yeah.
Know? Like, where do you even begin with all this?
Well, I think, according to our research, one of the biggest things is that it's easy to just feel totally overwhelmed with, you know, the state of the world. But, you know, a really good starting point is to understand the impact that our daily choices have.
Okay.
They really do add up.
That's actually a relief to hear. Because sometimes it feels like whatever I do is just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, but imagine billions of those drops. That's kind of the collective power we have.
Right.
And, you know, the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, they emphasize this.
Okay.
They found that happier and healthier populations, that actually contributes to greater levels of sustainable development.
So basically, like, feeling good and doing good for the planet, it all goes together.
Exactly. And it's not just, like, a feel-good concept, you know?
Yeah.
Did you know that nearly a quarter of global deaths, that's a staggering 23%, could potentially be prevented just by having healthier environments?
Wow, 23%. That's a massive number.
Yeah.
It makes you realize, like, how important it is for healthcare systems to consider the environment.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that health goes beyond just, you know, hospitals and doctors. It's about the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the spaces that we inhabit.
And unfortunately, not everybody has equal access to those healthy environments.
You're absolutely right. We need to acknowledge that marginalized communities very often bear a disproportionate burden of environmental hazards, you know, like air pollution and things like that. So, you know, this is where the concept of environmental justice comes in.
Yeah.
You know, ensuring that everyone has access to clean air, clean water, and just resources in general.
Right. So it's not just about protecting the planet. It's about creating a fairer and a healthier world for for everyone.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Now, let's maybe shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about some practical steps that we can take towards sustainable living.
Right.
One of the most impactful things I think we can do is practice mindful consumption.
Mindful consumption. What does that mean?
So it's about thinking beyond the price tag.
Right.
When you're shopping. Right. Asking yourself, where did this product come from? What's it made of?
Okay.
What will happen to it at the end of its life, you know, considering the whole...
Like its whole life cycle.
Exactly. It's about making choices that minimize our footprint on the environment. For example, you know, if you're buying clothes, try to look for sustainable materials. You know, things like organic cotton or recycled fabrics. Prioritize quality over quantity. So, you know, maybe investing items that are going to last longer rather than constantly replacing cheap things that, you know, you're just going to have to throw away later.
That reminds me of the saying, buy less, choose well, make it last.
Exactly. And look for brands that, you know, are actually practicing what they preach when it comes to sustainability and ethics. You can often find certifications like Fair Trade or B Corp. These indicate, you know, a commitment to responsible business practices.
It's amazing that we have the power to kind of change things as consumers just by, you know, where we spend our money.
Absolutely. Every purchase is a vote for the kind of world we want to create.
Right.
Now, moving on, let's talk about another area where we can make a big difference. Our homes. Our homes can actually be sustainability hubs with...
I love that. Like turning your home into a mini eco-sanctuary.
Let's start with energy. According to our research, you know, switching to renewable sources like solar or wind, that's a game changer if it's an option for you.
I've always been kind of curious about solar panels, but what if that's not really feasible right now? What else can you do?
There are still plenty of ways to be energy smart. You know, you can look for appliances with the Energy Star label. They meet really strict energy efficiency standards. And have you heard of smart thermostats?
Vaguely, yeah. Aren't those the ones that, like, learn your preferences and adjust the temperature accordingly?
That's exactly right. And they can save you energy and money in the long run.
Okay, cool. What other changes can we make?
Water conservation is another big one. Fixing any leaks promptly, using low-flow shower heads and faucets,
right,
and being really strategic about when and how you water your plants.
So just those simple changes, they can really add up.
Absolutely. And speaking of adding up, waste reduction is another key area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, embracing the classic reduce, reuse, recycle is...
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Good start. It's a classic.
We all learned that one as kids.
Yeah, but we can go beyond just recycling, right?
Right.
Think about using reusable bags, mugs, water bottles, you know, containers to avoid all those
right.
single-use plastics. You can buy in bulk to reduce packaging waste. And composting is a great one.
Oh, composting. I've been meaning to start.
Yeah.
It always seemed kind of intimidating, but...
It's easier than you think. And there are so many resources online now. You know, you can look up how to compost. Another important aspect is repairing items before just, you know, replacing them.
Yeah.
We live in such a
All right.
disposable culture, but, you know, so many things can be fixed with a little effort.
Yeah, I'm totally guilty of throwing things away too quickly.
It's a habit I think we're all trying to break. And if you do have items that... you know, you no longer need, consider donating them or maybe even selling them instead of just chucking them in the trash.
Right, give them a second life.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered mindful consumption
and
making our homes more eco-friendly. What's next?
Let's talk about what we fuel our bodies with.
Okay.
You know, our diets can have a surprisingly big impact on the environment.
All right. Let's dig into sustainable eating.
Okay. So one dietary approach that's gaining a lot of attention is plant-based eating.
Okay, so more fruits and veggies, legumes, things like that, and less meat.
Exactly. Plant-based diets are not only incredibly nutritious, but they also have a significantly lower carbon footprint
right.
than diets that are heavy in meat, especially red meat.
Okay.
You know, according to our research, switching to a more plant-based diet could actually reduce land use for agriculture by a whopping 76%.
76%. I knew that, you know, meat production was resource intensive, but I had no idea it was that much.
It's because raising livestock requires vast amounts of land, you know, for grazing and feed production. And it's not just land use.
Mm-hmm.
Plant-based diets can actually cut greenhouse gas emissions by almost half, like 49%.
Wow, that's a huge reduction. I'm guessing water consumption is another area where plant-based diets are better.
You're absolutely right. It takes a lot of water to raise livestock, especially for beef production.
Okay.
Switching to more plant-based meals could reduce water consumption by up to 21%.
These are serious savings for the planet.
And for your health, too.
Right.
Plant-based diets are packed with nutrients and have been linked to so many health benefits, you know.
Yeah.
Weight management, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, lower risk of chronic diseases.
The win-win for our bodies.
Exactly.
And the planet. It's all coming together.
It really is. And remember, you don't have to go completely plant-based overnight. Even just reducing your meat consumption, even a little, can make a difference.
I like that approach. It's all about progress, not perfection. What about the way that we source our food?
Right.
Does that play into sustainable eating?
Absolutely. Choosing local and organic food kind of takes sustainable eating to the next level.
Okay. I'm all ears. Why is that? Why local and organic?
Well, you know, supporting local farmers reduces the distance your food has to travel,
right,
which minimizes those transportation emissions.
Okay.
And organic farming practices, you know, they avoid using synthetic pesticides and fertilizers, which can be harmful to ecosystems and ultimately to our health.
That makes sense. Any tips for finding local and organic food?
Farmers markets are a fantastic way to actually connect with the growers and find fresh, seasonal.
I love going to farmers markets. It's like a community gathering.
They're great. Another option is community supported agriculture, or CSAs.
CSAs, what are those exactly?
So you buy a share of a local farm's harvest,
right,
and then you get a weekly box of fresh produce. It's like having a direct line to your food source.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to look for a CSA near me. What about online resources?
Definitely. Local Harvest is a great online directory that can help you find farms, farmers markets, you know, other sources of local food near you. And of course, Whole Foods Market is always a reliable option if you're looking for convenience.
Okay. So many good resources and ideas.
It's all about taking small steps and finding what works best for you.
Okay. So we've talked about food and we talked about our homes.
Yeah.
Can we talk about exercise? Is there a way to make our workouts more eco-friendly?
Absolutely. One of the best things you can do is get outdoors.
Outdoor workouts.
Yeah.
Love being outside.
There's something really special about moving your body in nature, isn't there?
For sure.
And it's not just about feeling good. According to our research, outdoor exercise can actually boost your vitamin D levels.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
Yeah, we get that from sunlight. What other benefits are there?
Okay.
Outdoor workouts are great for improving mood, reducing stress, and even boosting self-esteem. Plus, you know, the natural terrain
right.
can provide a much more challenging and calorie-burning workout than, you know, a typical gym environment.
So we're talking about a full body and mind workout.
Exactly.
What about people who prefer
right.
going to the gym?
Right.
Are there eco-friendly options there?
There are. Eco-friendly gyms are actually becoming more and more popular. These gyms prioritize energy efficiency, waste reduction,
okay.
and using sustainable materials in their facilities.
That's cool. What should I look for if I want to find
yeah.
an eco-friendly gym?
Some gyms use energy-efficient equipment to reduce their electricity consumption. Others have programs for recycling and composting. And some even go further
okay.
and use recycled materials, you know, in the construction of their buildings.
So it's like a holistic approach to
exactly.
sustainability.
And you might even find gyms with equipment that converts human energy into electricity.
Wait, human-powered electricity. That yeah. sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have any examples of gyms that are doing that?
The Green Micro Gym in Portland, Oregon is one of the pioneers in
right.
this. Green Fitness Studio in Brooklyn, New York is another great example. And there's a company called Sports Art
okay.
that manufactures cycles and ellipticals that actually can convert your workout into clean energy.
I'm adding all of those to my list. This is so cool.
It's really encouraging to see how the fitness industry is embracing
yeah.
sustainability.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground here. Mindful consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Making our homes eco-friendly, sustainable eating, sustainable workouts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling really empowered, I gotta say, to make some positive changes. What else should we explore?
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about the physical aspects of sustainability.
Right.
But let's not forget about the mental and emotional side of things. You know, the connection between our mental health and the natural world is incredibly powerful.
I totally agree. I always feel much more peaceful and relaxed
yeah.
when I spend time
yeah.
in nature.
You're not alone. According to our research, spending time in nature reduces stress, improves mood, and can even boost cognitive function.
So it's like a natural therapy session.
It really is. Access to green spaces has even been linked to lower levels of anxiety and depression.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It really is like a
yeah.
prescription for well-being.
Absolutely. So protecting those natural environments
right.
and ensuring access to those green spaces for everyone is crucial for
right.
both personal and planetary health.
Absolutely. What are some simple ways that we can kind of nurture this connection with nature?
You know, it can be as simple as incorporating outdoor activities
right.
into your routine. You know, take a walk in the park, go for a hike, even just spend a few minutes in your backyard.
Right.
You know, those little moments of connection can mm-hmm. make a world of difference.
For sure. What else?
Consider volunteering with organizations that are working to protect natural habitats.
Okay.
Or donating to conservation causes. And don't underestimate the power of advocating for those green spaces in your community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Support initiatives that are creating parks and gardens and, you know, natural areas that everyone can enjoy.
Right. So it's about more than just enjoying nature ourselves. It's about
yeah.
making sure everyone have access.
Exactly. Collective action is so important.
And that brings up a great point. We've talked a lot about individual choices.
Yeah.
But what about when we join forces with other people who care about sustainability, what kind of impact can we have then?
You're absolutely right. Individual action is great, but collective efforts really amplify our impact.
Okay.
You know, getting involved in our communities is where real change happens.
Okay. I'm all for community action. What are some ways to get involved?
There are so many environmental groups that are doing great work.
Yeah.
You know, look for local organizations that are hosting cleanups
or
tree planting events or even advocating for policies that promote sustainability.
Right. I love that. It's about making a difference in your own backyard.
Exactly. And don't forget about supporting those local businesses that are committed to sustainability by choosing to spend your money with companies that align with your values.
Mm-hmm.
You're sending a clear message.
Right. Voting with your wallet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, never underestimate the power of just talking about these issues
mm-hmm.
with your friends, family, and colleagues.
Sometimes it feels like preaching to the choir, you know,
yeah.
if you're talking to people who are already on board.
Yeah.
But you're right. We need to expand the conversation.
Absolutely. It's about making sustainable living more accessible and appealing to everyone.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about today. I'm feeling inspired. I'm feeling ready to take action. But before we wrap up part one, I want to talk about one more thing.
Okay.
We've been talking about, you know, taking care of the planet for future generations and all that.
Yeah.
But what about protecting the wildlife that's here right now? You know, all those amazing animals that we share the planet with.
That's a great question. Wildlife conservation is absolutely crucial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all interconnected, right? And the health of the planet really depends on the well-being of all of its inhabitants.
So true. When I think about protecting wildlife, you know, I often picture those big animals like elephants, tigers, you know, the charismatic megafauna.
Yeah.
But I know it's much more than just protecting those iconic species, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Wildlife conservation encompasses such a wide range of species, you know, from the tiniest insects to the largest whales.
Mm.
It's about protecting those entire ecosystems.
Yeah, it's about seeing the bigger picture, right?
Exactly. And remember those ripple effects we were talking about earlier?
Mm.
They apply to wildlife conservation as well.
Okay.
You know, when we protect one species, we often protect a whole host of other plants and animals that depend on them.
It's like a domino effect of positive change.
Yeah.
But I have to ask, like, why should we care about protecting wildlife? I mean, I know it's the right thing to do.
Right.
But what are the, like, the tangible benefits for us as humans?
That's a fair question. It's easy to feel disconnected from wildlife, especially if you live in an urban environment. But healthy ecosystems actually provide so many services that are essential for our own survival.
Okay, like what kind of services?
Think about pollinators, like bees and butterflies. They're responsible for pollinating such a huge percentage of the crops we depend on for food.
Oh, wait.
Without them, our agricultural systems would basically collapse.
Right. Bees are like the unsung heroes.
They are. And what about forests? They act as giant carbon sinks, absorbing carbon dioxide.
Right.
And helping to regulate climate.
So protecting forests is about mitigating climate change.
Exactly. And let's not forget about the oceans, right?
Yeah.
They provide oxygen. They regulate temperatures. Mm. You know, those marine ecosystems are teeming with life that play such a crucial role.
Yeah. It's all connected, isn't it? Protecting wildlife is about protecting ourselves.
It really is. It's about recognizing that we're all a part of this incredible web of life and that our own well-being is connected to the health of the entire planet.
Okay. Wow. I feel a much greater sense of responsibility now to, you know, protect those amazing creatures that we share the planet with. But where do we even begin?
I know. It can feel overwhelming, but there are so many things that we can do.
Okay.
We'll delve into those in part two of our deep dive.
Great. I'm looking forward to it. But for now, that's a wrap for part one of the Curiosity Chronicles. Join us next time as we uncover more ways to live physically strong, mentally awake, environmentally safe.
See you then. Welcome back to the Curiosity Chronicles. It's amazing how, like, nature can teach us so much about sustainability.
Yeah, it really makes you realize we're not separate from nature, but a part of it.
Yeah.
So picking up where we left off, you mentioned there are things we can do to protect wildlife.
Right.
What are some practical steps?
Well, one of the most effective things you can do is support organizations that are doing the work on the ground, you know, to protect wildlife and their habitats.
Do you have any examples?
Sure. Like organizations like the World Wildlife Fund.
Mm-hmm.
The Nature Conservancy, the Wildlife Conservation Society, they're doing amazing work. You know, globally, they're tackling things like protecting endangered species, preserving habitats, fighting climate change. They're even working on sustainable development.
Wow. So they're really looking at the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Are there like smaller, more local organizations that people can get involved with?
Absolutely. In fact, those local and regional groups are incredibly important.
Okay.
They're often the ones that are working, you know, right in your community to protect the specific species and ecosystems that make your area unique.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's easy to, like, get caught up in the global scale of things and forget about, you know, what you can do right where you live.
Totally. And speaking of action, there are small changes that we can make in our daily lives that can have a big impact on wildlife.
I'm all about those small but mighty actions. What kind of things?
Being mindful of the products we buy is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Try to avoid products that use ingredients from endangered species
Okay.
or that are made in a way that destroys habitats.
Okay, so really paying attention to labels and like where things come from. Pretty.
Exactly. Reducing our use of pesticides and herbicides.
Okay.
Those chemicals can be harmful to wildlife.
Right.
So find more natural ways to manage pests.
Yeah, I'm guilty of using those chemical sprays. I need to look into alternatives.
And if you have a yard, you can think about making it more wildlife friendly, planting native flowers and shrubs
Right.
that can provide food and shelter for all those, birds, bees, butterfly.
It's like creating a little haven for wildlife.
Exactly. And when we're out enjoying nature, we need to be mindful of our impact,
Right.
respecting their space, leaving their habitats undisturbed.
So staying on trails, admiring from a distance, instead of trying to get that perfect close-up.
Exactly.
Okay. These are all great tips. It makes you realize that protecting wildlife is something we can all be a part of. But, something I've always been curious about is animal intelligence.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about protecting these creatures, but what do we really know about, their inner lives, their ability to think and feel?
That's such a fascinating question.
Yeah.
And it's something that scientists are learning more about all the time. Animal intelligence is so diverse.
Yeah.
Different species have incredible abilities in different areas.
I'm ready for some mind-blowing animal facts.
Well, elephants are a classic example.
Okay.
Their memories are legendary. They
Yeah.
can remember individuals and places they've encountered like decades ago.
Really? I can barely remember what I did yesterday. Why is their memory so good?
Well, for elephants who live in complex social groups and roam over huge territories, remembering the best places for food and water, as well as potential dangers, is really crucial
Right.
for their survival. It's like having a really detailed mental map.
Wow, that's amazing. And they're not just remembering places. They're known for like their strong social bonds and their ability to grieve.
Exactly. They form incredibly strong bonds with their family members, and there's even evidence that they recognize and mourn their dead.
Wow. It's heartwarming and also heartbreaking. It shows a depth of emotion that we often don't associate with animals. What about communication? Do they have a way of talking to each other?
They do. They use a variety of vocalizations, gestures, and even infrasound, which are sounds that are too low for us to hear,
Wow.
to communicate. It's like a secret language that allows them to coordinate movements,
Right.
warn each other of danger, even console each other when they're distressed.
That's amazing. It's like they have a whole society going on that we're just beginning to understand.
Exactly. And elephants are just one example. The primate family, chimpanzees, gorillas, orangutans, they're another group with remarkable intelligence. They share a common ancestor with humans, so it's not surprising that they show some impressive abilities.
Chimpanzees are so fascinating. What kind of intelligence do they display?
Chimps are incredible problem solvers, and they're known for their tool use. They'll use sticks to fish termites out of mounds, rocks to crack open nuts. They even use leaves as sponges to soak up water.
That's amazing. They're so resourceful.
They are. And research has even shown that they can plan for the future, like
Wow.
saving tools
Yeah.
for later use or gathering things that they know they'll need for a task.
So they're thinking ahead. That's amazing. What about gorillas? What sets them apart?
Gorillas, despite their size and strength, are gentle giants. They're known for their problem-solving skills and their capacity for empathy.
Wait, empathy. You're saying they can, like, understand and share the emotions of others.
There's growing evidence
Wow.
that suggests they can.
Okay.
They've been observed comforting distressed individuals, both gorillas and even humans. There are examples of them, like acting altruistically, helping others without expecting anything in return.
That's incredible. It really challenges the idea that empathy is a human-only trait.
It does. It speaks to that deep connection, between all living beings.
What about orangutans? I know they're more solitary. How does their intelligence manifest?
So orangutans are really smart and adaptable. They're perfectly suited for life, you know, high up in the rainforest canopy.
Right.
They have exceptional spatial memory, which helps them navigate that complex network of
right.
branches and vines as they're searching for food.
So it's like they have a 3D map of the forest in their minds.
Exactly. And they're also skilled tool users. They'll use sticks to probe for insects and fruit, and they've even been seen using leaves as umbrellas right. to protect themselves from the rain.
They're really resourceful.
They are.
It's amazing to think about all the different ways that intelligence shows up.
Right.
You know, in the animal world.
It really is. And we haven't even touched on dolphins and whales.
Oh, dolphins. You know, I always loved their playful nature, but how intelligent are they really?
Dolphins are incredibly smart.
Okay.
Like, they rival primates
okay.
in terms of their cognitive abilities. Their brains are very highly developed. They're capable of complex problem-solving, communication, even self-awareness.
Mm. Self-awareness. So they, like, recognize themselves as individuals. Like, they can look in a mirror
yeah.
and know it's them.
Exactly.
Wow.
Studies have shown that they can do that. They also have distinct personalities. They show emotions. Mm. And they engage in cooperative behaviors. They'll work together
right.
to hunt, to navigate, to raise their young.
That's amazing. And their communication, you know, all those clicks and whistles, how much do we actually understand about, like, their language?
Dolphin communication is incredibly complex.
Mm-hmm.
They use whistles to identify themselves,
okay.
communicate over long distances, and then clicks for echolocation,
right.
which helps them navigate and hunt.
It's like a built-in sonar system.
Exactly.
That's so cool. What about whales? Aren't they like some of the most intelligent creatures in the ocean?
They are. Whales, especially humpback whales, yeah. have huge brains. They exhibit a wide range of cognitive abilities. They have complex communication, problem-solving skills, even cultural transmission.
Cultural transmission. What does that mean?
It means that they can actually learn behaviors and traditions
right.
from each other.
Oh,
like
God.
Passing down knowledge from one generation to the next.
So they have like their own whale culture.
Yeah. Different populations of humpback whales, for example, have unique songs.
Oh, wow.
That evolve over time.
That's fascinating.
And their migration patterns are another testament to their intelligence. You know, humpback whales
mm-hmm.
travel thousands of miles each year,
right?
navigating vast distances.
I always wondered how they do that.
Scientists believe that they use a combination of celestial navigation,
okay.
magnetic fields, even ocean currents to find their way.
It's mind-boggling.
It really is.
It's like a whole other world down there.
It is, full of wonder and mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And it highlights just how diverse intelligence is in the animal kingdom.
Okay, so we talk about elephants, primates, dolphins, whales.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other, like, animal brainiacs we should know about?
Well, you know, even some animals that we might not think of as intelligent can surprise us.
Okay.
For example, birds.
Birds.
Yeah.
I mean, I like watching the birds in my backyard, but I never thought of them as being particularly smart.
Well, you know, they might be small, but they have surprisingly complex brains.
Okay.
They show a range of cognitive abilities from problem solving to special memory.
Really?
Even tool use.
What kind of tools are birds using?
One classic example is the New Caledonian crow.
Okay.
Which is known for its ability to actually make tools
right.
from twigs and leaves.
Okay.
They use these tools to extract insects from tree bark. And they've even been observed solving puzzles.
Wow.
In lab settings.
Like a little avian engineer.
They are. Ravens are another highly intelligent species.
Okay.
They're known for their problem solving, their ability to plan, and even their capacity for deception.
Deception?
Yeah.
Like they're tricking other animals.
Exactly. There's evidence that they can deceive other ravens. By hiding food.
Okay.
Or pretending to have found something valuable when they haven't.
They're playing mind games.
They are.
What about parrots?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows they can mimic human speech, but is there more to it than that?
Parrots are really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, while they're famous for mimicking, there's evidence that they have some grasp
okay.
of language and concepts. They can learn to label objects, identify colors and shapes.
Wow.
Even understand simple commands.
So they're actually communicating.
It seems that way. And some species, like the African gray parrot, have been shown to have the cognitive abilities
wow.
of a human toddler.
That's incredible.
They're pretty impressive.
I'm starting to feel a little intellectually inferior to these birds.
They are pretty amazing, and we're still learning so much about them.
Okay, so we've talked about birds, but what about insects?
Mm.
I mean, they're tiny creatures, tiny brains. Mm-hmm. Can they really be intelligent?
You might be surprised. insects, even with their seemingly simple nervous systems, they display some really remarkable behaviors that suggest a level of intelligence that we often overlook.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Give me some examples.
Okay. Ants, for example, are a classic example. Mm-hmm. They live in these complex colonies with sophisticated social structures and communication.
You know, I've always been amazed by how ants can work together so seamlessly, like carrying food, building those anthills. How do they coordinate all of that activity without, like, a leader?
So they communicate primarily through pheromones, which are chemical signals that they release.
Right.
And these pheromones can carry information about food sources, threats, even the location of the colony.
So it's like a chemical language that's guiding their behavior.
Exactly. It allows them to navigate, forage, defend their colony.
Like tiny chemical engineers.
They are. Bees are another great example. They're known for those intricate dances that they do to tell each other where to find food.
Yeah, I've heard about the bee dances.
Yeah.
But how can they convey so much information just through movement?
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The waggle dance is very specific. By changing the angle and the duration of their waggle run, bees can actually tell other bees the direction and distance of a food source relative to the sun.
It's like they have a compass and a ruler built in.
Yeah.
Are there any other, like, insect intelligence superpowers?
Definitely. Butterflies are known for their incredible migrations.
Mm.
You know, they travel thousands of miles to reach breeding grounds.
Right.
The monarch butterfly, for example, migrates from Canada all the way to Mexico and back.
That's incredible. How do they navigate over such long distances?
So scientists believe they use a combination of celestial cues, the Earth's magnetic field, even an internal clock.
So they have like a built-in navigation system?
Exactly. And even, you know, creatures that we might not think of as bright, like spiders, they exhibit some surprising intelligence. Some spiders build those intricate webs, you know, true marvels of engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Others have these elaborate courtship rituals.
Wow.
Or they'll mimic the appearance of other insects to attract prey or avoid predators.
It's amazing how much we can learn from the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Even from those smallest creatures.
Right.
But, you know, it raises an interesting question. If animals are so intelligent, shouldn't we be treating them differently?
That's a really profound question. And I think the more we learn about animal intelligence, the more we realize that our old way of seeing them as, you know, unfeeling, unthinking creatures just doesn't hold up.
So we need a new perspective.
I think so. Recognizing that animals are intelligent and can feel emotions, that has big implications for how we treat them. You know, it makes us think about the ways that we use animals in research, in agriculture, entertainment, even in our daily lives.
So what are some of the ethical considerations that come up?
Well, for one thing, it makes us question the use of animals in research.
Hmm.
You know, if animals can feel pain and distress, if they have complex cognitive and emotional lives, is it really okay to experiment on them?
That's a tough question.
Hmm.
What about agriculture? How does understanding animal intelligence impact our food choices?
You know, knowing that animals, especially those raised for food, like pigs, cows, chickens, that they're intelligent and they can experience a range of emotions, it makes us really think about the conditions they're raised in and how they're treated. You know, it forces us to ask, is it ethically justifiable?
Yeah. You know, I definitely become more aware of, like, where my food comes from and the impact it has on animals.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to reconcile those things.
It's complex.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that knowing about animal intelligence, you know, pushes us to look for more humane and sustainable ways.
I agree. What about entertainment? How does animal intelligence kind of impact how we view things like zoos and circuses?
That's another area where we need to think critically. Is it right to confine intelligent social animals to these artificial environments?
Yeah.
You know, and train them to perform tricks?
I've always had mixed feelings about zoos. Like, I enjoy seeing the animals and learning about them.
Right.
But it's hard not to feel sad.
Yeah.
Seeing them in those enclosures.
It's a valid concern. We have to ask, you know, are their needs being met?
Right.
Both physically and psychologically.
Yeah. I think it's important to support, you know, zoos and aquariums that are genuinely committed to animal welfare and conservation.
Absolutely. And what about our everyday interactions with animals? Does this change how we view our relationships with you know, our pets, the wildlife,
right,
even the animals in our backyards.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking at the birds in my backyard with new eyes now.
Right.
How else can we cultivate a more compassionate and respectful relationship with animals?
It starts with recognizing their individuality, uh-huh. respecting their boundaries, appreciating their unique qualities. You know, we can educate ourselves about the animals in our communities, learn about their behaviors, advocate for their protection.
So it's about shifting our perspective from, you know, dominance
yeah.
to one of coexistence and respect.
Exactly.
Realizing that we have a responsibility
yeah.
to share this planet.
Absolutely.
This conversation has been so enlightening. I'm feeling a much deeper connection, you know,
you
to the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
And a greater sense of responsibility to protect them.
That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. This has been such a mind-expanding conversation.
It has.
It feels like we've just scratched the surface. But for now, let's wrap up part two.
Okay.
Of the Curiosity Chronicles.
Sounds good. We'll be back in part three
mm-hmm.
to explore more of these connections.
Until then, remember, physically strong, mentally awake, environmentally safe. Stay curious. Welcome back to the Curiosity Chronicles. We've been talking about sustainable living, taking care of wildlife, and just being healthy overall. It's amazing how it's all connected, you know?
It really shows how our actions have a ripple effect. Even small things can make a difference.
Totally. And speaking of making a difference, I want to dive a little deeper into the environmentally safe part of our slogan. Like, what can we actually do to reduce our impact and, you know, create a more sustainable future?
Well, based on our research, one of the most important things we can do is reduce carbon emissions.
Right. Climate change is a big deal. Where do we even begin with that?
Well, a good place to start is by reducing our reliance on fossil fuels.
Okay.
Transportation is a major source of greenhouse gases, so finding ways to get around that are more sustainable can make a big impact.
So trading in our gas guzzlers for something greener, what are some practical ways to do that?
Walking, biking, or taking public transportation are all great options. And if you need a car, consider an electric vehicle or a hybrid.
I like the idea of walking and biking more. It's good for me and the planet. But what about air travel? I know flying is pretty bad for the environment.
Yeah, air travel does have a significant impact. If you have to fly, you can look into carbon offset programs.
Carbon offsetting. I've heard of that, but I'm not really sure how it works.
Basically, you calculate the emissions from your flight and then contribute to projects that remove an equivalent amount of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
Okay, that makes sense. I'll have to look into that. What else can we do to reduce our impact?
Reducing energy consumption is another big one. Our homes and workplaces use a lot of energy, so being mindful of our choices can really add up.
We've talked about making our homes more efficient with things like Energy Star appliances and smart thermostats. What are some other simple things we could do?
Unplugging electronics when you're not using them, switching to LED light bulbs, washing clothes in cold water. Those are all easy ways to save energy.
Good reminders. I'm definitely guilty of leaving things plugged in when I shouldn't.
We all have our little things to work on. And speaking of little things, reducing waste is also really important.
We talked about the reduce, reuse, recycle mantra, but how can we go further and actually create less trash?
Composting food scraps and yard waste is a great way to keep things out of landfills. And it's good for your garden, too. Try to choose products with minimal packaging, or better yet, go for reusable options.
Yeah, I've been trying to pay more attention to packaging. It's crazy how much waste there is from that alone. What about single-use plastics? They seem to be everywhere.
Single-use plastics are a huge problem. They're polluting the oceans and harming wildlife. Making an effort to avoid them can really make a difference. Carry a reusable water bottle, bring your own bags when you shop, and say no to plastic straws and cutlery.
It's about making those swaps a part of our daily lives.
Exactly. And it's not just about what we do individually. We can also support policies that promote sustainability and hold corporations accountable for their environmental practices.
Right. We can use our voices and our choices to make a difference.
Absolutely. And don't forget about talking about these issues with the people around you. The more we talk about it, the more we can make sustainable living the norm.
It's about shifting the culture away from, you know, just consuming without thinking
yeah.
and towards making conscious choices.
Exactly. Creating a sustainable future requires all of us working together, embracing a more mindful way of life.
It's about understanding that we're all in this together, humans, animals, and the planet.
Wow.
It is. And it's pretty amazing to know that we have the power to change things.
This has been such an incredible conversation. I'm feeling really inspired to keep learning and keep making those changes.
That's great. Every little step counts. We can create a brighter, more sustainable world if we all do our part.
Well, that wraps up our exploration of sustainable living, protecting wildlife, and healthy lifestyles. It's been an amazing journey.
It has. And to our listeners, remember, physically strong, mentally awake, environmentally safe. Keep those wheels turning, keep exploring, and let's make a positive impact on the world. Thanks for joining us on the Curiosity Chronicles.